Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings Wrestling podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
How's everyone doing this week?
Oh, good.
Perfect.
Perfect, good, and I'm fine. So that is the trifecta, I think.
Yeah.
Now, let's get right into it. We need a little energy pick-me-up. Leah, are you prepared to tell us one thing making you happy this week?
All right, you guys. So I have two. One is a suck-up one, which I think I'm going to get some abuse for, and one is a real goblin one. The first one I want to say is that there's another new podcast by people who are non-traditional wrestling fans. Like, they're not, you know, cis white guys. And it's run by our friend and listener, Emmy. It's called Emotional Support Podcast. So you guys should
check it out. That's a great title.
Was I right the first time?
Yeah. Emotional Support Wrestling.
You guys, this is why I don't like doing like this.
You're doing amazing. We're the problem. No. We're the problem. It's not, you're doing amazing.
I do terrible at like planned things to say. Anyway, so check out Emmy's podcast. And then obviously the other one that we've recommended before is Waffly Bollocks. So I think we've retweeted both pretty recently. So if you check our Twitter, but I don't know, I'm just like, it really makes me happy that when we first started, it was the back catalog of WrestleSplania and Marty and Sarah. And now like all these other podcasts that are popping up that are just not the same people saying the same things. And I love that.
I know.
Yeah. And they're both great. I was listening to both of them this week and they're excellent podcasts. Good job, guys.
Yeah, I'm putting you in the rotation. So exciting. And I loved one of our listeners did post a picture of all three of our podcasts together in the podcast app. And I thought that was so sweet.
It was really sweet.
That's and that
really
is for sweet. The girlies.
That is.
This really is what the girlies need. They need to support each other and say deranged things to each other and send each other tweets being like, loved your derangement this week, bestie.
Are you guys ready for the goblin thing that is making me happy this week?
Yes. Yeah. Is this the one that you're going to get in trouble for? Because the next one.
No, I thought you guys were going to make.
No, I thought it was sweet. It was happy. I'm going to make fun of you for this, though, maybe.
Yeah.
Depending on what you say.
Yeah, you probably should. Okay. So King Arthur Flour makes a cheese powder.
Cheese
powder.
Yes.
It is basically what comes in the Annie's mac and cheese envelope, but you can just buy a canister of it, and it is legal to put it on anything. Here are some things that I have put it on recently. Different kinds of macaroni. Mm. Popcorn.
Mm-hmm. Great.
I roasted some green beans and then just sprinkled it on top.
Oh my gosh.
I'm obsessed with it. I'm so close to just dipping a wet spoon.
I used to do that with Nesquik when I was a kid. I would just eat spoonfuls of Nesquik.
My brothers would do it with peanut butter. They'd be like, oh, I'm going to get a peanut butter spoon. And I was what was that? And they're like, spoon and peanut butter. It's like, oh, I don't think you need a name for that, but sure.
I have purchased mac and cheese powder before in a big thing. And I have one right now, actually, but it's by a brand that I can't remember the name of. It's called Hoosier Farms or something. And it's too sweet. I don't, do you think that the King Arthur one, and I love King Arthur, I believe, is an employee-owned company. So very ethical purchase, which as Leah, having been in a grocery store with me before, knows that I love to, on group vacations, be looking at stuff going, I don't know if that's an ethical purchase.
15 minutes in the tuna can aisle saying, I don't know if any of these are sustainable.
None of them were. Tuna is one of the least sustainable things you can buy.
And yet your recommendation was for an Amazon channel, I think. So
I contain multitudes. I did say I don't support big business. So I'm praising Leah. I'm saying Leah's walking my talk. So don't shame me because I'm doing my best. And I have to watch Everwood.
Do you think it would be really normal if I poured some of this into a plastic baggie and sent it to me? You in the mail?
Yeah. I think that would be cool, actually. Yeah.
The mail would love that. If a mysterious white powder spilled out of the envelope. Yeah.
Maybe is it white or is it yellow?
It's white. It's white.
Yeah.
Do you prefer it to be yellow?
It'd be less creepy.
It would be less likely to get mistaken for anthrax.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. I thought you were like dubious about yellow cheese powder. And I was like, it seems like white would be better.
It's Annie's color.
I like them both. I like yellow cheese powder. I like white cheese powder. I don't know why. I really feel like Anna's coming for me tonight, and I don't know why.
I'm not coming for you. It's just turned into a weird conversation.
I've been fine this whole time.
You can put cheese powder on anything.
I love that, Leah. That would be making me happy too if I could do that right now. But I don't like the one I have.
I'll send you some in the mail so you can decide if you want to buy the huge jar of it.
That's perfect, please.
How big's the jar?
Kind of like a planter's peanut jar.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Leah, for sharing those. Yeah. And
great job.
Check out our listener started podcasts that I think are bringing all of us a lot of joy. Mm-hmm. Okay. We're going to talk about wrestling. We're going to start by talking about, she's nailing it. We're going to start by talking about the Flagpole Comic Club and the Elite. So Kenny and Yuta main evented Dynamite this week. And as I've said here, they fought really good, super good fighting. Super good fighting.
And that's the kind of commentary you can't get elsewhere.
No. It's like somewhere Dave Meltzer is just like twitching. He's like, what are they saying? Yuta put up a really good fight. Lots of kickouts, lots of near falls. Kenny was kind of playing with, everyone was so mad about his it's the Tiger 91, right? Everyone was so mad about his neck move. So he was like really playing up like, oh, my neck.
Did you see his quote in that interview where he was like, I'm just good at stuff. So, you know, don't worry about it.
Yeah. It really amazing.
Honestly, it was like, yeah, it's not a safe move for other people.
Yeah. For people who aren't me. Yeah. They shouldn't do it for sure.
I think it's great for Kenny to just be like, I don't know what to tell you. Some of us are built different. So
stay mad, I guess.
Yeah. And people will. They certainly will. Mid or towards the end of the match. So Don Callis came out from backstage clearly to distract Kenny. There were like security guards holding him back. And he did manage to distract Kenny enough that Takeshita snuck into the ring and bashed him. So Yuta almost got the pin, but then Kenny did manage to win. Then we had a post-match brawl. Claudio, did he come out from under the ring?
He appeared, but I don't know whether it was from the back or in the ring. Like, I don't know if he came from the crowd or from under the ring, but like,
I like imagining them under the ring, as we know. So that's what I was just like, he was under there the whole time. I just think it's so fun when they are. But he came from somewhere. So he and Takeshita were beating on Kenny. Bucks and Hangman ran out with chairs. They BTE triggered. Do we know which man it is?
Claudio. It was Claudio.
Claudio, yeah. Perfect. And then Dark Order ran out and they like took Hangman's chair away from him. And then the feed cut because we were out of time. So we didn't see the end of the segment. Amazing.
Good work as always.
They posted it on Twitter later because like the amount of things that I saw that I was like, you could have cut from that, my friends.
It did make me wonder where things had run long, like where the problem started. But yeah.
I feel like, people were speculating and now I can't remember what they thought it was. So it's not worth bringing up. But I feel like they're actually usually pretty good at cutting at the right place. Like the sound, they always screw up. But like usually they don't cut in the middle of stuff. So
no.
I guess Tony wasn't paying attention to that timekeeping.
Do you remember that one time the episode ended just as Matt Jackson was unbuttoning his shirt? Like the internet went, like lost their mind about it.
It's always the Elite, which does beg the question of it's like, are they running long? But I'm like, they're allowed to. Like they know they're like, we're not going to cut our story short. So figure it out.
When Don Callis came out in security, like came out to intercept him, it was cracking me up because sometimes they'll send like two security guards to like hold back Wardlow, but then there was like eight guys out there to hold back Don Callis. Like there was so much security and I was like, what do you think Don Callis is gonna do?
Yeah, he's not a fighter.
No,
that doesn't make a lot of sense.
He might talk his way out of it. He might like trick the security into letting him through. Like, you need eight guys to make sure that Don Callis can't pull one over
Wheedle
your eyes.
Wheedle his way out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that explanation. And we haven't seen Wardlow in a minute, thank God.
No, because he's on Collision.
Has he been on Collision, actually?
Oh, I don't know. I think so.
I don't
so.
Think he has. He hasn't been coming up in the matches, I don't think.
Have you been reading Collision recaps?
No, I just have the list of all the matches that have happened in the week, so...
Hmm.
For our podcast.
I don't know. I thought he was in at least the first win of Collision, because didn't he, like, lose the belt to...
Oh, maybe he hasn't been around since he lost the belt. That would actually make sense. So that was a mere three weeks ago.
Yeah.
Four. Almost four. She hasn't been around for a month. This isn't interesting.
So Hobbs
okay.
has the belt?
Luchasaurus
has the belt.
Luchasaurus.
Got it.
We're doing okay. Amazing. I feel really good about my brain.
I'm going to cut that
know,
right now.
I don't know what is happening tonight, but I am just zonked. Okay, Yuta, do you guys know? He might be injured, but I don't think anyone actually knows that.
No, because yeah, it could be, so. I think like people are speculating whether or not it was shoot or not, because like he had to be helped. Yeah. He had to be helped out, but like that doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah.
And like somebody showed a video and they were like, Claudio seemed worried about him, but it was like, he would if it was fake too, you know?
Right, yeah.
It's called acting. We know about it. Yeah.
So I think it's hard to tell.
Yeah.
Okay. So the actual, even though we didn't get to see it, the culmination of this this run on at the end is that Hung Bucks and are fighting Dark Order on Rampage tomorrow night. And then we also got a post-show promo from Kenny that we just have fan footage of, where Kenny talked about how he found someone to fight in Blood and Guts with them, and it's someone that he loved very, very much. He didn't say that, but everyone is pretty sure that that's Ibushi.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. It is cute to see Kenny being like, and it wasn't in Canada, and he's a very special boy.
He did look so sweet. He had such sweet boy face. It's just like, clearly it is very close. Just being like, and it's someone very close to my heart. Love you, Kenny.
So sweet. I really enjoy everyone that's like, because there's like some rumors that like Ibushi might actually like sign in some capacity. Like, I don't think he'll be full, like he would ever be like a full member of the roster, because I think there's something about like he won't leave his mom for that long, but
yeah,
that he might join in some some long-term capacity, and people keep being like, if that happens, it means the Elites are staying, and I keep being like, Tony, for the love of God, please do that.
Tony is crazy. Please do that. Not doing everything he can to keep the Elite, because like the Blood and Guts tickets move so hard after they announced it. Leah, you bought a Blood and Guts ticket.
Yeah. I wasn't gonna go. I kept saying I wasn't gonna go because it's at the Garden instead of a Gannis, and I like the Garden's a pain in the ass to get to, and it's bigger, and I didn't want to go, and I wasn't gonna go. And then now Fake Sports Feel is from Twitter is coming to town, and we're going to go. It's because of the stupid Elite. I'm one of the people that bought a ticket because they announced that they're going to be there. Like, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, you're going to go gonna see have a great our time. Sweet boys bleed. You're going to see Matt Jackson. I can't wait to find out if he's in boy mode or girl mode for Blood and Guts. Both would be so great, don't you think?
Mox and Eddie might kiss on the mouth. Like,
probably with blood in their mouths.
Yeah.
I want that.
You're going to have a good time. I wish I could go.
Yeah, I wish I could go too. Hey, Leah, count your blessings before you go to sleep tonight, because there's a lot of girls who wish they could go to Bloody Guts, but they can't because it's in Boston for the 90th show in 2 years. So we can't go to Bloody Guts.
Still never come to Louisville, but whatever.
Yeah. I do recognize my privilege that I'm like, man, I'm tired of going to shows.
Yeah, I hope you recognize it. And you check it. Just kidding. You're going to send us lots of great... did you guys get hard cam seats?
Not our exact favorites, but one section over.
Now that is privilege. I know. We didn't get our exact favorite hard cam seats.
But we're actually not... So we're in that section, but we're not sure whether it's going to be hard cam or on camera, because... It's a new venue, so we're not exactly sure. So it's either hard cam, which I would prefer, or possibly on camera, which I don't prefer.
I hope you're on camera. I want to look right at you.
I want to watch you.
Yeah.
I want to watch you try and maintain a little normal face while you watch Bloody Guts. Mm-hmm. You can't see the camera that much, though, because they're in the cage, right?
Yeah.
No, they put them in the cage. I think they're... Oh, yeah.
They put him in the cage.
They put him in a cage.
Because I can picture all the white panty boys in the cage. Yeah,
in the cage.
For a minute, I was thinking Anarchy in Arena, and I was like, no, they're roaming. They're roaming. No, you're right. They're in a cage.
No, it's the opposite of roaming. They are literally caged. Locked in.
The memories we have. White panties in a bloody cage is also my memory. It's just really... really burned in there.
Oh, Lordy. Like, every time a man wears white panties and then does a bleeding match, I'm constantly like, you don't have enough women working backstage. You don't.
I thought you were going to say, like, this doesn't belong to you.
It's appropriation.
Stop it.
It's cultural appropriation.
This is for us. I think we got to move on. We're gonna talk about what's going on with Mox and Eddie, and then we'll jump to a little bit of we'll circle back on Bloody Guts with a kind of a wild card conversation. So, also on Dynamite, Mox cut a promo about Eddie. Eddie just won the heavyweight belt, IGWP heavyweight belt, maybe. If I get that right, we're
going to... Strong open weight title.
Strong open weight. I knew there was weight in
New
there
Japan
somewhere.
Pro open Wrestling weight. Strong Jesus open weight Christ. Title.
Yeah, does open sure. weight mean that big boys and twinks can all compete for it?
But big boys and twinks can all compete for all belts in wrestling.
Well, in AEW they can, but...
can they not in New Japan?
New Japan, no. Because it was like a big thing belt. Where the Bucks went from juniors to heavyweights and... Kenny didn't believe that they were ready, and it was a little bit of a thing.
Because they were too twinky for the heavyweight division?
He thought they were.
And like in WWE, they had like the cruiserweight division, which when Jericho was a twink, was
cruiserweight
a cruiser.
Is the most condescending way you can put
it. It does kind of sound like a child toy. Swimming group.
Yeah, absolutely.
A little bit. Like, when you're in the minnows, and then you go up to cruiserweight. Yeah.
I think I just didn't really think that any of that... was actually associated with size at all. I was just like, it's so, I thought it was maybe age or something. okay. Well, all right.
The
strong belt is for anybody maybe?
Yeah.
So it's open weight. So open weight. That's what it sounds like.
So it's the strong open weight. The first person, it must be, because the first person who won it was Tom Lawler, who is not a beefy boy.
Mm. Well, he's teeny beef. He's little beef, you know. We can't reopen the can of beef worms that we reopen every now and then about cows and such. And what kind of cow is a beef and what kind of man can be called beefy.
I don't even know
what Faisley is making of me. She's like, don't talk about
this. I got really interested in this Wikipedia article. Cause to be honest, I honestly wasn't paying a ton of like attention except to watch his like acceptance speech. That's not what they call it, but you know what I mean?
And his acceptance speech. Yeah.
I didn't realize he won it from Kenta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kenta.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. I'm learning right on.
That speech and he cried.
Great. He cried big time.
Cried big tears.
Big time crier. It was very emotional.
Speech. So sweet.
Yeah. Speech.
He's the best. Yeah. Love Eddie.
Love you, Eddie. And he and Mox posted, I loved, that they, I think that Meltzer had said, like, that some wrestling reporter had been like, Mox went to this wrestling store in Japan and just went ham and bought a billion things and was clearly having the time of his life, which I already loved. Like, I was just like, that's so funny that seems like the only capitalism that Mox would love is that you go to the wrestling store and you support all the wrestlers. But then someone posted a picture and it was him and Eddie and they went to the wrestling store together and they both just look so happy about being in the wrestling store and clearly did not care at all. They were like, we can't really do that kayfabe thing right now because we're just having a blast at the wrestling store.
Did you read the quote he gave to Sports Illustrated about Eddie, about watching it? I'm really excited to get to read it to you. I generally don't pay much, if any, attention to what's happening on the show prior to me going out. Traditionally, I catch up on the show the next day when I'm not focused on my match, but this was different. It was very evident what being here, competing, and winning a title meant to Eddie. Just to see him here, taking this experience, it felt like you were watching Eddie at church. It was a deeply moving experience. I hope that comes across to the people watching.
I'm going to cry.
Man. That's so nice.
They said we can't fight. Not in Japan. Not on Rex Manning Day.
This means too much. I'm not going to pretend.
Oh, that's so sweet. Well, okay. So they had their fun trip to Japan together. But then Mox also cut a promo for Dynamite in which it was like basically, what did you think he said? I didn't have time to watch it.
He was like, basically like, we came up together. We used to have nothing. Now we're very successful. So what are you still mad about, Eddie, basically? And then he was like, Eddie, answer your phone.
That was
such a killer ending.
When men ask each other why they have anger inside them, like, and they're basically just being like, what is the hole in you that can't be filled?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That is what it's all about. That's why we're here on this bitch of an earth.
Yeah. Yeah. It was so effective because it was really, it just sounded like someone who's like genuinely really cares about Eddie, but Eddie is so frustrating to try to have a relationship with is what it seemed like, which is killer.
They're really, AEW said it's time for summer therapy, girls. And you're going to be watching a lot of things on TV that just make you think about how you handle your own interpersonal relationships and the ways in which you struggle to confront your own emotional issues and, you know,
the way we self-sabotage and what we prioritize and how we balance our priorities.
But, you know, they are also saying, and you can still be a good person who's worthy of love and have all these problems handling yourself and not be good at dealing with the world.
You just got to pick up your phone.
Yeah,
your
friend might be mad at you. It might be really frustrated with you. They just want you to answer the phone. Yeah.
Eddie, call me. Eddie, answer your phone.
Eddie, pick up the phone, Eddie. Meltzer
cry.
Apparently was like, I don't know if Sarah didn't say really whether it was in a complaining way or what, but said like it was a babyface promo. But like, I think that's like crazy because like the greatest part of the Eddie Mox stuff is that like neither of them are strictly being face or heel. Like they're literally just working out their divorce the best they can.
Yeah.
So they do not box them in.
Like it's very possible for someone to be like a heel with one group, like mean to one group of people while being nice to another one. He's not even being that nice to Eddie, but it's like
most
relationships
thing in the world,
are complicated. Like he can be a heel against the Elite while being complicated with Eddie. It seems great to me.
Not to be mean to Dave Meltzer, who I'm very fond of, but this is a classic example of you look at someone in the wrestling community and you say, please go watch a movie. Please go read a book. Please go watch a movie. Please take in some entertainment that is not wrestling. Go see a Shakespeare. Read a little comic.
The thing that cracks me up is that like it's like, yeah, any like it's really easy to do heel stuff to the Elite. They're really annoying. It doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah. Well, and Mox has always been like not real strongly anything. So
no, like, he's always been a tweener. And also like he's got recent history with the Elite where like they deserved everything he did. So I'm just sort of like none of this feud is really adhering to face or heel shit.
Yeah. Well, and honestly, even when you take like a massive heel like Don Callis, who like there's no tweener there at all. Like if Don Callis was having a complicated divorce with somebody where he was saying stuff like that, like I would be really into that. Like it would make him less of a heel to me. I'd be thrilled.
Yeah. I mean, we like seeing people have complicated relationships and be different things to different people. That's fun. Yeah. Dave, it's okay. It's good. Let's talk about another complicated relationship, shall we? Can someone put on some mood music? I really want to get in the mood here.
Speaking of Don Callis having a complicated relationship.
Chris Jericho and Don Callis. I think we may have worried some people with our response to this, but we'll get into it and we'll work it out on the pod. This podcast this week, not
some
so much.
People
about
aren't as brave as we are.
No, so they're not willing to say the things that we're willing to say.
the group chat was not standing with us.
No, they were. Some were shouting us down.
Out of the group chat. Yeah.
But you know what, Nicole? I think actually now I don't really remember because I was kind of sleepy. I think circled back when she rewatched and she said, "I don't like it." But you're not wrong. And that, Nicole, that was brave of you.
Strong, strong words from Nicole. Yeah.
Okay. Chris Jericho and Don Callis had a little in-ring promo about how they are both Canadian. They've known each other for a long time. They may or may not have been responsible for aspects of each other's success in the wrestling industry. And also they said they're best friends, which I didn't know. And they're gonna fuck. And then Don Callis asked Chris Jericho to join his faction of guys who hate Kenny Omega. I think that's basically what he said. He's just like, I don't think he mentioned Kenny, but he said, I'd love you to join my faction. It's kind what of what
he kind of did
what he
Kenny,
said,
yeah.
Which was which was way sexier. He said, Chris Jericho, are you ready to join my family?
Right. That, well, that's a proposal. So
and only before that, he did say he had been recently betrayed by that punk Kenny Omega. So
was in the mix. And Don, that is not what happened at all, but love that. Love that for you. Love your the way you experience reality. So Chris Jericho said that he doesn't join factions. He starts them. But that his answer, he had a one-word answer, maybe. And then he got out of the ring, climbed out of the ring, and did this face as he was leaving. And we have to really unpack what he was wearing and some things we may or may not have said about his appearance that, again, not everyone is going to agree with or think are cool, but it is just we say what we see. And also, he and Don Callis are going to fuck. They're going to fuck.
The only way that that would have been better is if Sting dropped out of the rafters oh my God. And said... Was our night not?
Would it mean nothing to you?
You're stepping out already? You're already looking for other adult men?
Other lovers? Other adult lovers?
And Chris Jericho says, we're in a golden age.
We're in a golden
it's
age.
My and time.
That is what we are now seeing. Chris Jericho is in his adult lovers era. And he's
never looked better.
Feeling himself.
He's never looked better.
He was wearing this jacket with like mirror pieces all over it and like 3-inch sparkly heels. Tremendous. And
the thing was, he walked like he knew he looked good. Mm-hmm. Like he
did look good.
Right, said Fred. I'm a model. You know what I mean.
The hair looked good. He was sweeping it off it over his shoulder.
And I don't know if it's defensible to say the hair looked good, but you're right. No, you're right because
we're going to get crucified for this.
Our Jesus Christ superstar on the pod, but
unimpeachable.
It's unfortunately there was just something about his energy that was like, I know you're not in your prime. I know that you have kind of a collapsing issue in the center of your chest. I know that. And I know that your hair is actually it's not glossy or well taken care of. But at the same time, like this is, I mean, here you are and you still have it and you have it.
His chest looked better than usual. I don't know if it was like the cut of the jacket or what was going on, but
it was
his body looked good. It
was camouflaging the cave-in really well.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I don't know what to say.
Look, we're scientists. We see things. We say them.
We say them. And the thing is, he looked good.
He looked good.
He looked
great.
Yeah.
And then he was making these faces.
His eyes were sparkling.
Mm. Yeah, less red than usual. Usually it looks like he's smoked up before he comes out there, but not this week.
I know that, Leah, I know you want me to float my theory and I want to float it too, but should I float it now?
I think this is a good moment. What do you think was fueling his verve?
I have a theory that Chris Jericho is an energy vampire and he is feeding off of CM Punk's fury and his pent up fury, and that the longer CM Punk is on Collision but mad about it and stewing and trying to get back on Dynamite and tanking his own show and all the shit he's up to, Chris Jericho is like being on the beach, sun, like he's just drinking it in and he's getting so young and strong and healthy and sexy.
And Punk is looking worse and worse and Jericho's looking better and better. So, you know, nothing.
When you floated this, all I could think of was that scene when Colin from What We Do in the Shadows is walking through the cubicle box.
Yes, 100%. They're all just collapsing around him.
And he does get, doesn't, in that episode, doesn't he get like too powerful and he does look kind of young and hot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He definitely gets super powerful and is like, I think he passes out.
Does he like grow hair maybe?
Yes, he grows hair.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. Because Chris Jericho used to be kind of balding. Am I making this up?
Yeah, I think we had speculated he was getting hair plugs at one point, but like,
and there's that time he does some sort of spray on his bald spot and it was coming off or something.
Well, of course he's probably still just as balding, but you'd never notice because you're so transfixed by the things he's saying and doing with other men on the screen.
The impish flirting he's doing.
That's a note to other men. You want to be more youthful? Do a little flirting with a male colleague.
Now, some of you may say that it is hypocritical of us to say that it's like cool and sexy that Chris Jericho called a man his best friend whom we've never seen interact on the program before. And we said about Hook and JB, like, that's not cool. And it's not hypocritical. It's just, you know, well, it is what it is.
If Hook and JB were bringing this energy to their saying they were best friends, I would be fine with that.
The difference is that I do not think that Don Callis expected us to believe him. And
That's true.
I did think that Jungle Boy wanted us to believe him, but now I'm sort of like, I don't know, was Jungle Boy trying to make the same kind of joke, but it failed? Like,
I think
signaling?
I think he was just feeling really desperate. And so he did kind of, I still think that the best interpretation is that he meant it, but in like an insane way where it's like, no, you're not. And you need therapy right now. You're doing really bad. But I agree. Don Callis doesn't expect us to believe it. It was so good. Anyway, so the result of this is that there's been a little discussion about like, will Chris Jericho be the fifth man in Bloody Guts on the side of BCC? So fighting alongside Claudio Yuta, Mox, and a fourth man, Takeshita. I named the men. Successfully named all the men.
Good job.
What do you guys think about that?
I'm like into it, but it's also very weird because like Jericho's right. Like he doesn't join factions, he creates them. So like him in a faction with like Mox, I mean, he wouldn't really be in the faction, but it's like too many equals for Jericho. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's kind of what makes it really exciting. Like,
I mean, it's interesting.
Because like, I also don't think that Jericho is ever fully like going to be following like the BCC's goals. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
At the end of the day, Jericho's on his own team. And so like, he's kind of a wild card in there. Like,
yeah.
And he also is not like, when he wrestles, a lot of times he's like, I got to get out of here. I got to pin this guy so I can make this stop happening. Where the BCC is like, we could be here all day, you know?
I love the idea of just Chris Jericho, like in horror, slowly realizing like these people won't let me fucking leave. They're not going to end this match. I'm trying to leave. It's like an escape room. He's like, the final key is right over there. Let's just get the key. And everyone's like, I'm having too much fun.
Yeah.
I just throw the key in a toilet.
Kenny, Mox, and Jericho trapped in the same
It feels like the weirdest crossover. Yeah, like, ooh, anything could happen in there.
It's very fun to think about. It's interesting, though, because I did kind of think, we had a lot of interesting stuff going on with face-heel dynamics this week, where, like, when you had Jericho up with Don Callis has such mega heat that Jericho is coming off as like, you're like, yeah, Jericho's a face right now. And then he had a promo afterwards with Sammy Guevara, who looked like a real vampire. I mean,
what was going on with him?
It was so pale. Strange.
She was like gray.
I don't know. And Danny Garcia, where he just seemed kind of like thoughtful and was just being like, maybe it's time for you guys to do your own thing, because their names got drawn out of the fucking tag team, just random tag team generator. My ass, the algorithm is not fucking working right.
It's making me
not even trying even a little bit. Like, come on,
man. We're gonna play a little game about it later, guys. Don't worry, but
we'll fix it. We'll fix it, Tony.
Yeah, we'll fix it. It's not a problem for us to fix it.
My cat has located a Pepto-Bismol cup, and she's just throwing it around. So I'm so sorry about what's in the back of my track. It's just a Pepto-Bismol cup being batted around.
Amazing. Floor.
I actually can't figure out where my dog is, which is a little troubling. So
we're thriving.
Yeah.
And you just tell us if you need to go look for Shasta. I didn't know.
She's probably fine.
Can't remember what I was trying to say. I just think it's interesting because if he did fight with BCC, that wouldn't really be face behavior. So I guess maybe he's not face turning and he is just still a heel. But Chris Jericho's...
Oh, she's found. She's identifying herself. So she must be by the window.
I don't know what I was saying.
Our pets do not want to let you articulate this point. I'm sorry, Allie.
No, I feel like they're reading my vibes where they're like, she doesn't have anything to say, really. So my follow-up question, so I have seen some people suggest that we're like headed for that Blood and Guts is going to be kind of like the final set piece of this feud. Do you guys think that's right?
Yeah, I think, if you consider that like technically it's the Hangman and Mox of it all, has been going on for a long time. I think it's probably getting close to needing to be finished. And Blood and Guts is like a really good way to like wrap it up. But at the same time, I'm sort of like, these guys are all so charismatic that if they wanted to keep it going to all in, sure. Especially if Ibushi comes and Ibushi's here for a while.
I know. I think I'm just interested in like what we are... As we come to the end of like BCC Elite, I'm interested in what we're going to move into next. And I do think there's a lot of uncertainty about that because nobody is sure what's going on with the Elite contracts. And like, I mean, from the outside, I don't know what's going on the inside there. But I think I just don't really know what I want the end of this feud to look like. And I don't know what any of them are going to be moving into next, except that it seems obvious that Mox and Eddie are heading for a really big singles match. And that's all I know. But I don't know what I'm saying. I'm just sitting here.
No, I think it's fair because it's like, there's not. So if JAS breaks up, which I sort of think that they should.
Yeah.
There's not really another huge faction for either the Elite or BCC to go after.
Yeah.
So if the BCC sort of turns in on its, like if Eddie and Mox start going after each other and that becomes kind of what they're up to, the Elite can't go after the Trios title because they've had it some recently. They're not going to have the Bucks go after the tag titles. So it is sort of like, what are they going to do? I don't know.
What
I mean, I'm up for it,
do
but
with my boys. Yeah. Do you guys remember? Have I talked about? No, this isn't the right time to get into it, Allie. No, I'll save it for another day. Okay, it's for another day. I don't know. Well, okay, we'll see what happens. You want to talk about the blind tag team tournament for a couple minutes, and then we'll get into our game.
Yeah, love it.
So MJF and Adam Cole were back in their buddy comedy get along shirt on Dynamite this week. So they did a pre-tape like day in the life promo where they hit the gym together. And then they had a tournament match versus Matt Menard and the Butcher, known collectively as Magic Meat. Absolutely repulsive and great. Love it. And they did win. After the match, MJF threw a surprise birthday party for Adam Cole in the ring, complete with a cake that MJF's face ended up getting smashed into. He laughed about it. He was in really good spirits. Yeah. Adam Cole laughed. Adam Cole said thank you and seemed pretty genuine about the thank you for the birthday party, which is bad news for Roderick Strong, who this week, well, we didn't watch, but he got knocked out by Samoa Joe on Collision. So Adam Cole checked in with him backstage on Dynamite. And so this guy, poor guy, is just in a neck brace being like, Adam, please do not like get suckered by MJF. Like, you can't trust that guy. And Adam Cole is being like, of course I know that I can't trust him. Just rest up, buddy. Just get better. Of course I know I can't trust him. Don't worry about it. Like, leaves. Roderick Strong is just sitting there like, I know I look fucking stupid because I'm in a neck brace. I can't move my neck. I'm like a baby. I've got to go lie in bed. And he's going to fuck that guy. He absolutely is going to fuck
God. Adam Cole said, love you. And Roderick Strong said, love you too. As he walked away and just like watched him go. It's crazy. It's like, what do they think they're conveying in this story?
I genuinely do not know what Roderick Strong is trying to convey to me when he stares longingly at Adam Cole's retreating back.
There's, I think maybe nothing they could have done with Roderick Strong without bringing love of my life Kyle O'Reilly back that would have made me interested other than this. This was it.
Yeah, it's really, really working for me. Yeah.
So one of the things that I think is interesting about this dynamic with MJF and Adam Cole, MJF is a heel. Adam Cole now is a face. I think often when you put a face and a heel up against each other, it kind of, you know, the contrast seems starker, right? It's like, this guy is bad and this guy is good. Mm-hmm. When you put Adam Cole up against MJF, what you get is that Adam Cole is like, God, it was really fun to be bad though, wasn't it? I mean, it's like, not cool to be bad, but like, it is fun to be bad.
That's exactly it. Like, he just watches MJF just being like, oh man, I remember those days.
It's interesting because I'm actually not 100% sure if that's what I'm supposed to be getting out of Adam Cole, because I've never been getting face vibes off him. So I actually don't know where they're going with this and what's on purpose.
Yeah, I think it must be, because that scene in the gym where Adam Cole starts to say something like chiding, and then it's just like, but yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And MJF's like in his like most fun, like I'm having a great time being a little rat move, you know, so it's really fun to watch.
I'm so obsessed with MJF's thing where he's so desperate for friends, and he like falls into this flush of new friendship where he's like, this is going to be so cool. We are best friends. Finally, I've been so lonely and now I have this. And then immediately he like ruins it and like, you know, scorpions himself to the bottom of the river. But I really enjoy where he's like, yeah, buddy, happy birthday.
MJF like wants to be part of the Bebe entrance, you know, but he needs to be in the front, which is why he always sabotages it, because it's like he can't stand to have a friend who like might get equal attention or just be like, as you know, just friendship has to be among equals and he can't handle it. But he is so lonely.
So lonely.
It does make you think about all the delightful possibilities of like who the person is that MJF will ultimately befriend and manage not to completely destroy the friendship. And it's like, I don't know, just that like the person who he'll be able to stop himself from scorpioning, or the person who's just unscorpionable. And that's not going to be Adam Cole, but they are both scorpions way more than anyone else that MJF has done this to recently. Like, I know he did it to Sammy, and Sammy is a heel, whether he is supposed to be or not at all times. But when he did it to Sammy, it's just like, Sammy is not a not a fellow scorpion, actually. But Adam Cole is. If you try to pierce Adam Cole with your scorpion tail, his scorpion tail is already there. The two of you are just going to take each other out. And then the only other like random tag team generator tournament thing of interest was that OC and Darby fought Keith Lee and Swerve on Dynamite. I believe this was preceded by a Keith Lee Darby promo, but I didn't see it. I could have sworn I tuned in right on time, but didn't see it. My stream was being weird. I think I was really behind you guys. So anything I should know about that?
So it was like Keith Lee was about to be interviewed, and all of a sudden Darby walks up, and he has the strangest energy, because he's just like, Keith Lee, like, you used to be good, and then now you've been pretty terrible lately. You lose all the time. But I think that you probably still could be good again if you tried. Maybe you will. I don't know. And it was like, the energy was just like so aggro. It was like kind of mean. But he was delivering it in this like perfect mean girl tone. Like, you ever have like this situation where like the mean girl will be like saying something like, she's not even putting that much energy into being mean to you? Because like,
It was so low energy, but so mean. It was weird. It was like the flattest little like, it was an odd little pep talk.
Keith Lee like kind of looked at him like amused. Like, he was like, who is this little man who's speaking to me? And like, I just got so confused about like what we were supposed to understand from it. Because at first I was like, oh, are they teamed up? Did I misunderstand? Because it would have made sense to me if like Keith Lee and Darby were teaming and Darby was trying to give a promo where he was like, now that we're on a team together, let's win. But he wasn't. They were against each other. So what the fuck did Darby care if Keith Lee got his groove back?
Yeah, he should want him not to. Yeah. This whole thing was just inexplicable. This whole match, I feel like. It was just like, what are we doing here?
What are we doing here?
Because Keith Lee and Swerve didn't even seem to have conflict in the match.
The thing that's weird about all of this, or not weird, but okay, let me just quick cover some of this other stuff. So they have the match. And OC and Darby do win. They get thrown all over the place and they writhe and then they win. Fine. And Keith Lee and Swerve do fight okay together. But this is what Manolo said. And I was like, I don't know. We were all preoccupied with something we were exploring during this match, I think.
Something we were exploring. It sounds like it was bodies, but it wasn't. We weren't exploring each other's bodies.
I don't know. It's just something we were getting up to on the internet. It's not getting better. It's just a tool that we were using.
You know, a tool for ladies.
Yeah,
an entertainment tool for ladies.
All of us were using a tool.
We're discussing our use of that tool.
Okay. So, but Manolo said that they were like really enjoying doing teamwork moves that hurt each other. So Swerve and Keith Lee were back on their bullshit, kind of, except we didn't get any promo between them. So, no. And the last time we saw them, I think they were trying to kill each other.
I was so confused because it was like they seemed to pretty much work together fine. I was like, what story are we trying to tell here with Keith and Swerve? Like, it didn't seem like they were emphasizing the fact that they were enemies being forced to team. Like, it was just like, what was the point of any of this?
No. It was a little strange. But then, so then Darby and Swerve do have all this history. And we have seen them fight since he heel turned, right? We saw that. But they've never done a really long feud, which is actually quite interesting to me because they are fairly dynamic together. So mm-hmm. I would like it if they did like a, you know, real 3 month, like let's go for it. But then we had this promo where Darby was talking about Nick Wayne, the little 18-year-old child. I think he's not 18. Maybe he's 18 now, 18 next week. I don't know. Who got signed.
I saw some tweet where he was like, oh, like only 8 days to go or something. I was like, do we really have like a counter to when you're 18? Like, there's some kind of.
But we left this behind in the early 2000s, Nick Wayne.
Like the Olsen twins' birthdays, like those pervert birthdays. We don't need it.
That's not our business, Nick Wayne.
No.
But so he is supposed to, this is right. He's fighting Swerve on Dynamite next week. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Darby is friends with Nick Wayne. Nick Wayne is fighting Swerve. That is the only way I can get back to Darby talking to Keith Lee and being like, you could be good again, is that it's like, it is that if he's being like, because we both don't like Swerve, so you need to be better than him. But it doesn't make sense that they weren't on the same team.
No, it would have been such a more interesting match if it was Keith and Darby versus OC and Swerve. Because mm-hmm. both sets of that tag team have history with each other.
Yeah.
And it would be just funny for both of them to have to work together. Like, picturing Darby and Keith Lee doing a tag team move, that's funny.
And it would be so much more random feeling than just like, here's people that have tagged together before.
I have to say that the Sammy, Danny Garcia thing pushed me over the edge. I said, Tony Khan, this is not acceptable. This goes too far. I suspend my disbelief cheerfully, happily, every week with almost every program I watch. I like when two people get randomly paired together for a school project and, you know, it's like of course they have stuff to work out. So it's not actually that random. That's great. But we need to have a pretense of randomness.
Yeah.
Get the people in there together, but don't team them up with the people that they have the stuff with.
You get one. to me. Yeah. Like if you exactly. have a tag
team. Adam Cole, MJF. Yes. Great.
Yes. Yeah. That is sure. the one where you're like, yeah, right. But then every other one has to be truly random. Yeah. You don't get to have three out of the five we've seen be not actually yeah. random.
Yeah.
But I and do like, think the only one that's carrying the energy is Magic Meat. That is the yeah. only pairing. Oh, that and
the and, ones coming up.
The ones coming up. Yeah, Greg,
Trent
Greggy,
and Matt oh,
yeah.
Seidel, and who are they fighting?
Some well, actually, they're people. Friends. So,
yeah, but it's still at least it's not like Greg and no, Kip I know. Sabian
I'm only joking, but. I think, Leah, you were right, though. It's like, it's actually also not random if people are, like, fighting people. Like, if it was, like, OC, Swerve, Darby, Keith Lee, that's also, like, not random, but it has the pretense of randomness where I'm just like, that's chaos. So it's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And you should be, like, mixing it up where it's, like, maybe in this match, like, Swerve and Keith Lee are on opposite teams and then they're teamed up with like Matt Seidel and Trent, you know, or something. Mm-hmm. Like you can have two people on opposite, like you can use it to further your storylines, but you need some randomness and chaos around it. And you should be doing it in like a fun way also. That's like, ooh, I never thought I'd see this, you know? And yeah.
If we don't get some fun around here, we're going to freak. No, we did get some fun, but we're going to make our own fun. And we're going to put our money bucks where our mouths are. And we're going to play a little game where producer Marjorie is going to give us two random names. And instead of sending them on a romantic date, which we would love to do, we are going to discuss what we would like to, what we think that their team dynamic would be like in the ring. And then we'll try a little thing where once we've done a couple of those, we'll talk about a match. Unless we don't want to do that, then we won't. Sound good?
Sounds perfect.
Hooray.
Producer Marjorie, are you ready to give us some tag teams?
First up, we have Sean Spears and Keith Lee.
See? Okay. Now that's fucking random.
That's sure is, yeah. Okay.
I would need Sean Spears to abandon this like babyface stuff he's doing.
Yeah.
If he came out in full chair fucker mode,
yeah,
and
sex pervert Sean
is following him in that cape, being like, I don't know what we're doing.
And they're both like, I'm so embarrassed with this guy. Like, oh my God, he's wearing a cape. And it like, does he have a chair? Does he want to fuck the chair?
If Sean Spears was really capering with that chair too, I would like if eventually Keith Lee got fed up with it, took the chair, and with this powerful mic just flung it back. It was just like, absolutely no more of the chair shit, Sean. This is a non-sexual space.
I can picture him saying it too, and it's making me so happy. Just picturing him flinging the chair and just going, absolutely no more of the chair, Sean.
Someone has to take those chairs away from Sean for their own good. That would be fun.
That'd be so fun.
That'd be so
I didn't even realize that that Sean Spears was a face now. He's a face.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he's a he's a collision baby face.
He's on Collision?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's the only Canadian in these Canada shows. major draw, Sean Spears.
Amazing, amazing stuff. Well, Ethan Page was on this week for a one-off.
Oh, yeah. Ethan Page.
They got Ethan.
Love him. Miss him.
Love and miss him. I think that's great. That you're exactly right. It's that they're each is embarrassed of the other. Mm-hmm. That's perfect. Marjorie, can we get a second team?
Yes. Next up, we have Anna Jay and Darby Allin.
Ooh, I'm interested. I'm listening.
Huh. I'm just imagining because like it's so different now that Anna's been doing her Anna JAS thing where she is what she has learned from Chris Jericho. And I think it's, you know, it's a stage you got to go through. She's like, you'd be very loud. You'd be very shrill and you just say stuff and you ham it up and you're bad. And I do think like that Darby would be like baffled by it, like just like what is fucking happening here right now.
If you could get If you could structure this in such a way that Darby felt like he was unable to say no and that he had to go along with what Anna Jay wanted, I would pay so much money for Anna Jay to be teaching Darby to say, I have a fat ass and a bad attitude.
Darby would always get like halfway through it and be like, I can't. And Anna would be like, again.
Drill Sergeant Anna, say it. I've got a fat ass and a bad attitude. And it's like all Darby has is a bad attitude. He doesn't have a fat ass. He's very small.
Oh my God, that's their tag team name. Fat ass and the bad attitude.
Oh shit. Okay. Leah, you are firing on all cylinders right now.
Wow.
That's the stuff.
And
that's a beautiful t-shirt.
That's a t-shirt I would buy.
Yeah. With Darby's little painted face on it next to the bad attitude.
It's so annoying that AEW won't do intergender matches because that would fucking rule.
It would be so good.
I don't even know where to start with the... I know that producer Marjorie is doing genuinely random things. She's a woman of integrity. It's very funny that we've said all this stuff about, like, that's not random, and then we get Keith Lee and Darby in our first two, so that's funny. But to tackle the question of these teams fighting, I don't know where to start. I don't know what would be happening in that ring. Like, just
it'd be pretty chaotic. You've got chair stuff going on. You've got capes. You've got Darby and Anna who are not working well together.
I know, but I think Darby and Anna are going to work better together than Sean and Sean and Keith. That's so true. I think Darby and Anna are winning.
And I can see Darby and Anna having like a growing enjoyment of each other as the match goes on, and they both, because they're different. Darby's not a bully, and Anna Jay does have like bully girl vibes, but I can see Darby starting to really enjoy watching Anna bully Sean Spears and just being like, this isn't so bad. This is not so bad. And especially if she's like getting Sean Spears outside the ring and being like, tope this guy. I can see Darby being like, yeah, this is okay. This is working for me.
It'd be a beautiful match if you got to watch them going from like, I can't do this to like, yeah, I'm having a great time. Like, I'll tope him again. Like, yeah.
I wish we could watch that. That's making me. And I also am just imagining that Sean Spears like had an opportunity to tag Keith Lee in, didn't, and now is trapped and can't tag him in. And Keith Lee is just like, honestly, just kind of like head in hands, just like, all right, well, it was your choice. You wanted to fuck the chair instead of tagging me in. So
this honestly makes me feel like Tony Khan should have like actually pulled names from a hat and then just see what happened. Like, play in the space, you know, you could come up with some magic
game for them. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if he genuinely made it a surprise for them too. Come on.
Yeah,
oh my gosh. What do you think your characters
little
would do together?
Character exercise. It'd be great.
They need to be doing that kind of thing.
I know.
Yeah. They should, honestly, like, especially with people like who need to get a better handle on their character, you know, like do a little workshop. Just be like, okay, what's your guy do in this situation?
Yeah. Wow. Could we do two more sets?
Yeah. Yeah. We got to.
Yeah. Okay. Producer Marjorie.
Next up, Matt Jackson and Orange Cassidy.
Oh,
okay.
This is for us.
Okay.
It's
now, again,
Marjorie is a woman of integrity because people are not going to believe this one.
Actually, random.
Shout out to random.org, which is the random number generator service that I use.
If anything, what this is clarifying is that it is actually shockingly easy with a genuine random number generator to come up with amazing tag teams, because we all remember when. When Orange Cassidy putting his little fist up like, oh, I want to punch you, and putting it back down like, I can't because you're a girl.
It's nice to have another true intergender pairing here.
And then what would it functionally be like? I like imagining, honestly, I one thing that would be happening is that I'm like, I like imagining Matt is just not good at wrestling with not Nick.
No, I think that's absolutely right. Because like, I think there's a certain level, like he's Nick's base, right? Like he's like holding like Nick through a lot of the biggest spots. And like, I just picture Orange Cassidy being like, you want me to do what?
Climb up on the ropes.
I need you to do all the big cool moves. Ooh, I don't do that.
I feel like Matt would get like mad when OC does like his shitty kicks and stuff too. Just
like that's not, him not by, helpful. Like,
the collar of his shirt down to the ramp.
I like that. Yeah.
You know, and it's funny because it's like when OC does his shitty kicks and has his little bad attitude, it's not Matt Jackson compatible, but he'd be in such a bad mood out there without Nick. And like OC's little thing of like, we do the least, like I do the least I can. And Matt is like, we actually always do the most. Like that is kind of what my tag team is about, is we just do the most.
And he tries to get OC to wear tassels, like little denim tassels on his jeans.
I want to see it so bad.
And I also think there's like a level to which like OC, like I think Matt would be so easily riled because he's in such a bad mood. Mm-hmm. And I think it would be impossible for Orange Cassidy to resist riling him. So like,
that's true.
OC especially recently
cat mood
does try in matches, but he would extra not try because Matt wanted it so bad.
Yeah,
it's true.
That's true. And it would be funny to watch Matt like trying to like pep talk him and OC just getting more, going more and more limp, basically.
Right, and OC giving him the most languid little like tap in where Matt has been like begging, like put me in. But then Matt gets in there and actually like he's so disgruntled that he's not doing his best wrestling. He's not doing his beautiful Northern Light suplexes.
No. I really think that Tony made a huge mistake by not putting the Bucks into this, because I know the Bucks probably put it in their contract that they can't be separated, but like for one tournament, if for they fun. Were split up,
the if comedy, one of them got put with Orange Cassidy, just for one tournament, and they played it up like they were just furious at being separated, like that would be fantastic. Yeah.
If the point of the exercise is that they don't want to not wrestle together, that's great. You can definitely make them not wrestle together.
Yeah.
Producer Marjorie, one more pairing, please.
Okay, Nick Jackson.
Shut up!
Oh, he's gonna wrestle.
Andretti.
that's
who cares about action? That's just a placeholder guy.
I can't. All right, we're canceled. We're doing a Matt versus Nick. We're canceled.
We're canceled, and our integrity is being called into question.
I know. No one is going to believe us. We just talk so much shit on Tony for having these unbelievably convenient matches.
Tony's out there like, I did pull them out of the hat. You guys, I pulled them out.
I used random generator.net.
Well, obviously, that would just be... It's very funny to think about Action Andretti, because he's young, he's hungry, he's an up and comer. He's like, we gotta win this one. We gotta win this one, Nick. And Nick's vibe is just like, I'm not sure that my life will be worth living if we like work hard to win this one. Like that's not really gonna work for me.
The vibes of this match would be insane.
I know.
It's just hard to picture.
I love the idea of like the Bucks meeting in a middle of the ring and then Nick just being like, actually, no.
Oh, no, I'm going to do it.
They both just turn around and go tag their partners.
Nick's just trying to be a conscientious objector. And actually if they even did start, it's like, they're like, okay, well in this moment, like, yeah, we can just do a little fight. They would just end up, it actually would be acrobatics. Not the way everyone's making fun of like them all the time for, but because they're just like, we just love doing moves together and we're just kind of going to do them for fun. You can't make us fight each other.
They end
it
up
becomes like a Bandito versus Commander match.
They just like accidentally BTE trigger Action and Andretti together just out of habit. It's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to.
That's what happened. Is that they just in the middle of the match, they're like, no, I don't think so. Suddenly they're like,
and then
no,
Nick's like, oh shit.
Well, actually, and it would be funny too if they're like, he has a slight oh shit, and then it's just like, I don't know, fuck it, I guess that's what we're doing. And they turn around and OC is just giving them a little look and he just rolls out of the ring and leaves. He's just like, the BTE trigger me, I'm happy to go. And no one can figure out, like, they're just like, who I won? Guess that I guess it's the,
it's the first match. It's the first match where it's like, not only does nobody win, but everybody loses.
They're like, you're actually disqualified, and then their next opponents just get a bye.
Everybody gets a bye.
Wow. Well,
Anna Jay and Darby move forward.
They move forward. Yeah, they're in the finals now.
If we get canceled and called cheaters, it was worth it because
we didn't cheat, though.
We really didn't cheat. Marjorie,
she's a woman of integrity.
Marjorie keeps us honest
and safe.
And safe.
I don't know. I think that's all we got. Did I miss anything anybody was dying to talk about this week?
We forgot to go over Collision, but
we all watched it. We were pretty excited. Yeah, it's coming back to Kentucky, so you know, I'll be there.
I'm saving that up because I thought we might want to do like big special Collision only episodes. Does that sound good?
A bonus. So,
yeah, you can join our Patreon for that. On that note.
I was just going to say, imagine if we got a Patreon, but then we only used it for fucking Collision. That's the only thing. That's what our subscribers have to pay for is our Collision content.
I have to say, it wouldn't be a sensible business concept. On that note, I've been Allie.
I've been Ann.
And I've been Leah.
And this is Tunnel Talk. Our show is produced by Marjorie Voinovich, a woman of integrity. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. There's another part to this that I can't remember because I didn't find it. So you can find us on Twitter at tunnel.pod, via email. Oh, if Twitter's still there, I guess, by Sunday. And via email, via Tumblr, tunneltalkpod, via Gmail, tunneltalkpod. Hey, listen. Hey.
You want to take it from the top?
Hey, No. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. And come back next week. Good night.